From the Mercy One studio. Welcome to Straight Talk, a lively discussion on tough issues impacting our lives. Every Tuesday at 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio. Here's your host, Gene Wells.
Well, welcome to Straight Talk here on Iowa Catholic Radio. It is your weekly dose of news from the diocese and around the world. And we talk about tough issues that give you grief, that upset your tummy, that break your heart. Today is one of those days. We're talking about the C word, cancer. Yeah, Straight Talk. You've got questions. We've got answers. I'm in studio today. I'm Gene Wells and broadcasting from the Mercy One studio here at Iowa Catholic Radio. And because we're talking cancer throughout the show, if you have prayer requests, please text me at 515-223-1150. If there was ever a show to pray for all of our listeners, it would be today. I know many of you are struggling with cancer, and hopefully today's guest will help give you some hope and some ideas on how to get through this. My guest is Vicki Oberheim-Vorwald. Vicki has been a longtime volunteer here at Iowa Catholic Radio, and she's gone through both sides of the cancer. Her husband passed away from it, and she has just gone for her six-month checkup and came back with a clean bill of health. So lots of the whole range of emotions as it comes to dealing with cancer and how that impacts our faith. So we're going to be talking with Vicki all about that. So again, you can send in your prayer requests at 515-223-1150. So as we talk about cancer, you know, for years we didn't even say the word cancer. We just instead, you know, someone was diagnosed with C, and it was usually whispered because it was, you know, thinking it wouldn't be so bad for this particular person. Yet the good news is that cancer is not a death sentence as it was once was thought to be. Treatments do offer hope where there was none before. Yet the diagnosis of cancer is still devastating to the nearly 2 million individuals who received that news in 2020. Prostate, lung, and colorectal cancers account for an estimated 43% of all cancers diagnosed in men in 2020. And for women, the three most common cancers are breast, lung, and also colorectal cancer. And they will account for an estimated 50% of all new cancer diagnoses for women in 2020. The National Cancer Institute recognized the role your faith and spirituality can take when diagnosed with the disease. I think that's interesting. The National Cancer Institute recognizes. Their report shows that many people with cancer look more deeply for meaning in their lives. They want to understand their purpose in life or why they got cancer. Now, spirituality means the way you look at the world and how you make sense of your place in it. So spirituality can include faith or religion, beliefs, values, and reasons for being. So they are looking at the broad scope of what that spirituality means. Now, having cancer may cause you to think that what you believe and it's normal to view the experience both negatively and positively at the same time. Some people find that cancer brings more meaning to their faith, and others feel that their faith has let them down, and they struggle to understand why they have cancer. For example, they might question their relationship with God. Now, each person's journey is unique, and each person's journey can be inspirational. Today is one individual who is a cancer survivor, and we'll visit with Vicki Oberheim-Vorwald about her faith journey. So again, you can text me at 515-223-1150 with your prayer requests. Some events to mark on your calendar. May 8th is the Mary's Meal Run. So details right now are on their Facebook page, and that's Mary's Meals Heartland. So Saturday, May 8th, that sounds like a beautiful day. If you haven't yet made a holy hour during Lent, you are invited to join Bishop Johnson every Monday evening from 5 to 6 p.m. at St. Ambrose Cathedral. His remarks last night on the subject of made clean by the presence of love were concluded with this prayer. O Jesus of the Eucharist, O consecrated host, Oh, envied monstrance. Oh, blessed ciborium, beloved of my heart. The tabernacle is my treasure, and far or near, my eyes never lose sight of it, for it contains the God of love. Oh, Bishop Johnson is such a wonderful homilist, and it just really touched my heart. Also, anywhere, anytime, you can listen to positive and inspiring music from a Christian and Catholic perspective at our Iowa Catholic Radio app. You can listen to any of the podcasts of the shows. They are also on the app, as well as when Dowling plays football, basketball, baseball, softball. It's all here on Iowa Catholic Radio. Some news of interest. Yesterday, the Vatican's doctrinal office clarified that the Catholic Church does not have the power to give liturgical blessings of homosexual unions. In an accompanying note, the doctrinal office explained that blessings are sacramentals, and consequently, in order to conform with the nature of sacramentals, when a blessing is invoked on particular human relationships, in addition to the right intention of those who participate, it is necessary that what is blessed be objectively and positively ordered to receive and express grace, according to the designs of God inscribed in creation and fully revealed in Christ the Lord. It appears that everyone has an opinion on the church's clarification. The news feeds were blowing up with this last night, and many shared their disagreement, ranging from the German Catholic bishops to Elton John to President Joe Biden. There you go. In Iowa legislative news, the Iowa House passed House File 452 and sent to the Senate, which would provide authorities with additional resources to complete investigations of trafficking in humans. The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops runs a program of community-based support services for survivors of human trafficking. The House also improved House File 318, which provides a state-funded preschool opportunity for younger five-year-olds. So currently, those five-year-olds that, you know, are supposed to go on to kindergarten, but maybe they are just not ready for kindergarten yet, can do what's called transitional kindergarten. Or they can repeat that four-year-old pre-K program, but there's no funding for them because they're not 4 years old. So this would allow those few children every year to continue to have that funding for their school of choice, and as opposed to the parents needing to then make a choice as to where that child goes to school. The House also approved House File 294, which requires insurance companies to pay the same rate for mental health services that are provided by telehealth as in person. Now, several of the diocesan Catholic Charities organizations provide counseling in this way. All of those seem like very good strategies for our state and for our citizens. Well, on today's show, Vicki Oberheim-Vorwald is joining me. Vicki is a cancer survivor, and we're going to talk about when our faith and our very life is tested by cancer. Again, you can text me at 515-223-1150 with your prayer requests. I look forward to praying for you or your friends and family. It's time for Straight Talk right now on Iowa Catholic Radio.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and John Leonetti in the Morning is provided by Blessman International. Blessman International partners with volunteers and donors to provide sustainable programs for children in South Africa by leading 12-day all-inclusive experiences, sharing the heart of Christ with vulnerable children in South Africa. Teams are forming to do something significant in an African child's life. Learn more at blessmaninternational.org. Thank you to Blessman International for their support of Iowa Catholic Radio.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Catholic Women Now provided in part by Permar Security, providing security solutions for homes and businesses since 1953. Permar Security is a Catholic-owned family business supplying security systems, access control systems, video surveillance, fire alarm systems, and video doorbells. All alarm systems are monitored out of their monitoring center located in the state of Iowa. Permar Security, 515-244-5660, permarsecurity.com.
Thank you, Dental Associates, for underwriting Dowling Catholic Sports 365. With over 40 years' experience, Dental Associates is a group dental practice with the mission of promoting optimum health and well-being to all patients, providing preventative, restorative, and cosmetic dentistry for the entire family. Message underwritten by Dr. Kenton Gleichman, Dr. Steve Karbaka, and Dr. Ben Nagel. Dental Associates, addressing your smile, needs, and dreams. Online at DesMoines-DentalAssociates.com.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and John Leonetti in the Morning is provided by Five Sons Naturescapes. Five Sons Naturescapes is a Catholic veteran-owned family company, providing premium outdoor landscaping. Clean up and restore outdoor living space with retaining walls, privacy fencing, pergolas, paver sidewalks, and patios. Issues with soil settling and water around the foundation and yard? Five Sons Naturescapes can grade and install drainage tile to help. Five Sons Naturescapes online at fivesonsnaturescapes.com.
Thank you, Skeffington's Formalwear, for sponsoring Dowling Catholic High School football. In business since 1951, Skeffington's Formalwear offers quality service, style, and selection, providing tuxedos, suits, and casual groom attire for weddings, proms, and any other special occasion. Skeffington's Formalwear, with convenient locations in Des Moines, West Des Moines, Davenport, Coralville, and Ankeny. All locations are family-owned and operated by members in their respective communities, fitting you for life celebrations. Online at skeffingtons.com.
What is the best gift ever? Giving a Catholic education is at the top of my list. Your contribution to CTO helps families send their children to our Catholic schools who otherwise could not afford it. In giving to CTO, you receive the best tax credits ever. Pledge or donate online at ctoiowa.org. The bottom line, it's for the kids and their future. Welcome back to Straight Talk on Iowa Catholic Radio. This is Jean Wells, and I do encourage you, if there was ever a day to call in, or excuse me, to text in your prayer request, today's the day, 515-223-1150. We're visiting with my good friend, Vicki Oberheim-Vorwald, and Vicki is a regular volunteer at Iowa Catholic Radio, and she is a cancer survivor, and we're going to be visiting about where our faith and our very life is tested by cancer. And we're talking specifically about the stress that comes into our lives because of this medical diagnosis. So, and Vicki has had the full gamut of experiences. Vicki, let's go back a few years. Welcome, by the way, to Iowa Catholic Radio.
Good morning to you, friends.
Good morning. You know, the last few years have been a real challenge for you. And I really appreciate your willingness. I know you had to pray about this, of being on the air to talk about the challenges you faced and the opportunities you've embraced with your journey. I mean, this wasn't just a, hey, Vicki, you want to be on the radio? And you're like, sure, what are we going to talk about?
Very true.
You had to take this to prayer, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I know my first inward response was, Jean asks, therefore I must, there must be a reason for this. I will say yes, but I did pray about it.
Yeah. Well, I think so oftentimes, Vicki, our own journeys impact others and we don't even know it. We don't know that something we've done or said truly touched someone's heart. And you don't
Absolutely.
Find out about it until 100 years later, you know? And so, I feel like there's so many people right now that are struggling with cancer that I think your story could be helpful and hopeful for them. So let's go back a few years and to Joe, your husband, who was diagnosed with cancer. So share, if you would, what cancer he was, what was the diagnosis, you know, what stage, all of that kind of thing.
Okay, in January of 2015, mm-hmm. he became ill. It was either the 18th or 19th, right in the middle of the month.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of fevers. Finally, we did go in, and
because Joe's not a guy just to go into the hospital or go into the doctor, is he?
Pardon me?
He's not the kind of guy to go into the doctor. It's like, I just got a fever. I'm fine.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He does not. We had to wait a while, and we couldn't figure out what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went in, and I do remember the doctor saying something. I can't remember quite what it was, but I remember firmly saying, Joe does not complain.
Mm.
And she was very quiet, and so she listened to what he was saying. From there, we went and got one of those scans, PET scan, CAT scan, whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we went into, on February 2nd, we found out that it was cancer. Very quickly, they made an appointment with an oncologist. And at that place, they did a PET scan and found out that his liver was filled with cancer.
Mm.
We saw the PET scan, and my heart kind of went into my toes because the liver looked like it was all cancer because it was all red.
Mm.
And so in talking with the cancer doctor, she said, well, do you want to go home or do you want to go straight to the hospital? She said, we have a very small window to work with. She did say, you do not have liver cancer. But we don't know yet where it came from. So the cancer had already metastasized.
Again, Joe, we don't want to hear, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Joe, wanting to get down to business, he said, let's go to the hospital and find out what's going on here. Joe was always upbeat and had positive attitude, and he did throughout this whole thing. Went to the hospital, throughout all the tests and everything. We did find out he had esophageal cancer that had spread to the liver.
Hmm.
And we talked about treatments. They got him stabilized, got rid of the fever, and then he was able to come home. He was probably in there, I want to say it was February 22nd. You know how you remember certain dates?
Yeah.
And so we came home. We had chemotherapy set up. Joe, however, was his immune system and his liver, of course, was not functioning very well. So he, unfortunately, could not go through all the treatments they had set up. I want to say, I don't know, I'll make it up, 8 treatments.
Yeah.
It was either after the 3rd or 4th. And after each one, in Joe's family, we have a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we did a lot of communicating, and with the chemo treatments, the things that were supposed to be going up or improving just were not.
Hmm.
And Joe, kind of in trepidation, asked myself and the kids, do you mind if I quit the treatments? And, of course, all of us were looking at these numbers and going, oh, my God, this is not working. And we were all like, yeah, that is A-okay.
But is he knowing in his heart, did he know that if he quit those treatments that this was not going to go well? I mean, was he accepting an early death at that point in time? Do you think?
I think he was accepting of the situation.
Hmm.
I do know after we were home and prior to, I guess before we came home, we didn't know what kind of cancer he had. We found that out later because I was Googling symptoms of secondary liver cancer because that's all we knew at the time. And it said, right shoulder pain. And I said, oh, my God, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Joe, a symptom of secondary liver cancer, and he had right shoulder problems.
Hmm.
I tried to find that later and come to find out different pains on the right side of your body can be indications of cancer. Who would have thunk?
Yeah.
Anyway,
so when did you find out what stage of cancer, or did you ever find out what stage of cancer? Because it moved very quickly.
We already knew it was stage 4 from the get-go.
Oh, okay.
If it's metastasized.
Oh, okay.
I think it's stage 4. It's always stage 4.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So,
my daughter Christina had Googled that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you remained, I mean, you remained very positive. I remember this time very clearly. You remained very positive during all this, yet I know it weighed on you. How did you maintain that positive attitude, and especially to the external world? Were you internally, were you like falling apart, and externally going, it's all good, it's all good, it's all good? Because that's what I heard.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. I will answer that, but I want to go back. I forgot to say, I was going somewhere, and I remember here at home, you asked if he had, you know, been accepting of it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but he finally just said to me, can you believe this? And I'm like, I couldn't even talk. I shook my head. No.
Yeah.
Because it came on, it was like being slapped up against the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Remaining positive. Number one, I'll attribute a lot of that to my husband.
Mm-hmm.
He had this little slogan that he had way before I even met him that was, don't worry, be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if that's original. Maybe somebody really made that up somewhere. He got it from somewhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But he lived that.
He did.
And in our family, in our parish, with the friends that I've been given, we all have a strong prayer base. And so in remaining positive, once, you know, right away we shared with our prayer chain, you know, please pray for Joe.
Mm-hmm.
So it was hard to not stay positive or to keep plugging along at least, because we had prayers, we had cards,
mm-hmm.
we had phone calls, we had meals brought to us. At this time in February to March, for Lent, our church usually does those Lenten fish dinners.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Joe
was always very involved. Yeah,
he did express some disappointment, but he said, I guess I won't be helping with the fish fries this year. And I said, no, probably not.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one of the nights, his fellow knights had brought over a full, big, leftover pan of fish. And, you know, they wanted to do anything, mm-hmm. everything that we might need. Family members. Joe comes from a family of six children. He had five siblings and a great extended family.
Mm-hmm.
We had many visits. His siblings, a couple live around here, but a lot live out east, far away. They came to visit. People here came to visit.
And that was very important.
We had the people, right. We had the mm-hmm. people from the parish come and do a living rosary in our yard, which alerted our neighbors. So then communication was, you know, they offered their comfort and their support too.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, I never felt alone. I know financially, we got many gifts, financial and otherwise, gifts to Joe that would be uplifting and encouraging, along with all the cards.
Mm-hmm. You know, you don't think about that, you know, oftentimes you send flowers when someone is in the hospital, but, you know, other types.
I forgot that. We got some of those.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, other types of gifts, perhaps, you know, some books to read or, you know, I don't know what kinds of items other than, you know, food and flowers is what you typically do when someone's sick. But
Joe did get some books.
Mm-hmm.
Although we did a lot of reading together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he kind of went, quote, downhill.
Yeah.
Pretty quickly. I have to say, I never felt alone, but even without situations like this, the fact is, we are never alone.
Right.
At least I've always believed that, and it's true.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if I was tempted to forget that, with all the outpouring of love from family, friends, we couldn't forget it.
Mm-hmm.
with our finances, too. Yeah. His family, you know, we needed some things here in the house. We had a, what do you call that, a chair, those chairs.
The lifts.
I'm having a brain.
Yeah, those chairs that lift up, right?
Yeah. Donated to us.
Mm-hmm.
We needed to get something for that thing for the shower. Bars for the shower, raised toilet seats, little a commode for closer to the bed.
Mm-hmm.
It just seemed like everything that we needed, we were either able to get ourselves or were given to us.
Mm-hmm. You know, Vicki, I think you make an important point. Is that it started because you asked for prayers. You told people what was going on, because oftentimes I think we have this devastating news and we don't know how to deal with it ourselves, so we don't say anything to anyone, and then you do become isolated. So, you know, you didn't ask anyone to help you with a chair or with a commode or with a anything, but because people, you said, please pray for us, those other needs were also met, most likely through prayer. So we have to be willing to share. You know, ask for those prayers when we have a difficult time. We have just a minute or so before we move into the bottom of the hour break. But what I'd like for you to share is, what would you personally have done different during this time to cope with you know, losing your husband?
I would have cried more.
Oh, you put on the facade at home too, huh?
Well, no, it was so busy and with taking care of Joe and with company. I did start to cry once when Joe and I were here alone, but Joe was like, "This, don't worry, be happy." And he says, "Oh, don't cry."
You're like, "But I wanna."
Yeah. And so I did tell him, realistically, Joe, you know, throughout this whole thing, there is going to be a time when I'm going to need to cry.
Right.
Yeah. But it has been seldom. Mm-hmm. I've gotten teary-eyed. I think that's still in my future, to have that gut-wrenching cry.
The ugly cry. Yeah, we know about that. I have to tell a quick story before we take a break about Joe. I was leading the rosary one Saturday night before Mass, and I was really into the rosary and had my eyes closed and was just really praying it very intently. And all of a sudden, there's a little tap on my arm, and Joe had come up and said, "You need to speed it up. It's time for Mass." And Joe was an avid rosary prayer, but I was just kind of like, "Oh, it is time for Mass. We have to get going." So anyway, you have to speed it up a little bit. Anyway, gotta love Joe. I do. We need to take that break. When we come back, we're going to visit with Vicki about the things that happened after Joe passed away and how some other challenges impacted her life and how she dealt with that struggle. So you're listening to Straight Talk right now on Iowa Catholic Radio.
There are millions of children that go hungry every day. Thank you to Skeffington's Formalwear for supporting Mary's Meals. Their vision is that every child in the world should be able to receive at least one good meal every day in a place of education. Mary'sMealsUSA.org.
Thank you to Mercy One for their support of Iowa Catholic Radio. From the cardiovascular experts at the Iowa Heart Center to the pediatric services of Mercy Children's Hospital and Clinics, Mercy provides complete care for Central Iowa's adults and children with more than 50 primary care and specialty clinics in the Des Moines area. Find a convenient Mercy One location near you. Online at mercydesmoines.org.
Since 1924, St. Vincent de Paul has been helping those less fortunate work towards self-sufficiency. Last year, St. Vincent de Paul helped over 20,000 individuals with food, clothing, and shelter, while also offering classes in financial literacy, high school completion, career readiness, and prisoner reentry. SVDPDSM.org, 515-282-8327. Shop, donate, volunteer, serve. This message was brought to you by Homemakers Furniture.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and John Leonetti in the Morning is provided by Five Sons Naturescapes. Five Sons Naturescapes is a Catholic veteran-owned family company. providing premium outdoor landscaping. Clean up and restore outdoor living space with retaining walls, privacy fencing, pergolas, paver sidewalks, and patios. Issues with soil settling and water around the foundation and yard? 5 Cents Naturescapes can grade and install drainage tile to help. 5 Cents Naturescapes online at 5centsnaturescapes.com. Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Christ is the Answer with Father John Ricardo is provided by Confluence Brewing Company, brewed locally and featuring regular, seasonal, and limited-release beers available at local stores, bars, and restaurants. Confluence Brewing Company at 1235 Thomas Beck Road, off the bike trail south of Grays Lake, and online at confluencebrewing.com. Confluence Brewing Company offers curbside service and would like to thank you for your support. Thank you, Confluence Brewing Company, for your support of Iowa Catholic Radio.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio's broadcast of Dowling Catholic Sports and Activities is provided by Kemin, a global ingredient manufacturer using science to transform the quality of life for 80% of the world. Kemin is on the leading edge of molecular science, manufacturing more than 500 specialty ingredients for the human and animal health and nutrition, pet food, aquaculture, nutraceutical, food technologies, crop technologies, and textile industries. Kemin strives to sustainably transform the quality of life every day for 80% of the world with their products and services. Kemin, using science to transform the world. Online at Kemin.com.
Here's your forecast on Iowa Catholic Radio. Low pressure is over the Four Corners, but will gradually work its way into the Central Plains over the next 24 hours. We may get a few showers today and cloudy skies with our afternoon high about 45. A few showers this evening and then cloudy overnight with our low in the mid-30s. Looks like a rainy day coming up for us tomorrow. Breezy and our high near 40. Rain may be mixing with a little bit of snow. I'm meteorologist Steve Hamilton on Iowa Catholic Radio.
Welcome back to Straight Talk on Iowa Catholic Radio. This is Jean Wells, and I'm broadcasting from the Iowa Catholic Radio studio here in West Des Moines. And our text line is open, and I'm asking if you have any prayer requests for folks who are struggling with cancer or any other illness, you can be sure and text to me, and I will pray for them, and I will ask all of our listeners to pray for them. That number is 515-223-1150. And joining me today is Vicki Oberheim-Vorwald. Vicki is a member of St. Thomas Aquinas in Indianola, Iowa, a good friend of mine, and also has had a number of her own health issues over the last few years since her husband passed away. And it's been a struggle. Is that an understatement, Vicki?
It is.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't cancer to begin with. So,
Myself, yeah. No. After Joe died, I gave myself a little time for grieving. Mm-hmm. But then I felt ready to go out back to work. I was putting my resume together. I had an obstacle with cars, and lo and behold, talk about everything provided for you to have a full-time job, and one I was considering was a ways from here. Mm-hmm. Somebody gave me a car.
God bless them.
A blessing.
Mm-hmm.
So
that obstacle's
working on,
done. We're good. You can get a job,
done.
Right?
I'm doing resume. I'm applying through Indeed.com or whatever. And my hips, which had been arthritic for quite some time, and I had gone to physical therapy, you know, back when Joe was still alive, a number of times, started to get worse.
Okay.
And so finally I had to go in. I thought, well, we'll get this taken care of. I went in and was referred to an orthopedist. Mm-hmm. He x-rayed my hips and said, well, both your hips are pretty bad. One in particular, the other one's getting close, but it's okay. And I said, that's the way I see it right now. And so he said we needed to do surgery on it, a hip replacement. And so they put it into insurance, and insurance said no. Now this orthopedist was very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Says, oh, no, the doctor's wrong.
And I don't think that's ever happened to him before. And so we went on, and I went to physical therapy, and it got worse and worse, and I was getting cortisone shots. The first cortisone shot, I thought, wow, you know, I could go out and work now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it wore off.
Yeah.
So then we...
Now, how long is this going on, Vicki? The you know, surgery, no insurance, do physical therapy. You know, is this, you know, a few months?
Well,
is this a few years?
10 years. I had my first physical therapy for my hips when I was told that I had arthritis in both and in my back was 10 years prior to that.
Okay.
You know, so they lasted a good long time.
Mm-hmm.
But let's see,
but
after you get a cortisone shot, you have to wait 3 months. So we rescheduled, the surgery and, I was thrilled. I was going to the Y and I got myself all the muscles surrounding the hips strong and during the best times of the day, I was out and about and people wouldn't know that anything was wrong, and they wouldn't have known the pain I was in. When it got too painful for me to be able to at least be civil to people, I stayed home.
If you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all, so you stayed home.
That's right.
So when, then what happened? When did the... Did you have the surgery then, or what?
No. I ended up needing to go back in to fill in some papers, and he said, you seem to be doing fine. And I shared with him that the pain was almost intolerable, but I was, you know, I was with Joe. Don't worry, be happy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I do believe some sort of inner joy is a grace of God to me, probably inspired by Joe. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't tend to... pout and focus on me, you know, somewhere along the way in life, you know, like everything is not about me. So I tried to reach out in love. Anyway, I was very, very perplexed.
Yeah.
And I thought, I don't know how to handle it. I said, well, what do you want to do then? I had not said that I also had a second cortisone shot that didn't work. Because I always want to do the least invasive things first.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew that that wouldn't work. And he said, well, we could do another cortisone shot. And I really don't know where he was coming from. So I just continued on. I thought, he said I did, but now he says I didn't need it. And I didn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I wasn't reaching out to God and to cope with things, and if I wanted to give up and say, the heck with it, I drank.
Mm.
So that's how I coped for a while.
Mm.
That, of course, does not work.
No.
And so I stopped that and relapsed on and off. Finally, you know, through the help of our parish priest, because one thing I needed to cope with were some regrets after Joe died, was to learn to forgive myself.
Hmm.
And so, and to really, really know the unfathomable love God has for me. And
Vicki, that is something we all have to learn and to truly embrace. So...
Anyway, so I was doing well on that end with that vice, which I think, you know, with our relationship with God, all vices need to go to be totally, totally open. But when I finally drank again, I thought, you know, throughout that time, I don't talk about myself to too many people about that, but I do have good friends, and I was encouraged to change medical facilities.
Mm-hmm.
And that just, I procrastinated on that for a long time, and I finally did it. And I went in there and told him that I needed hip replacement. Me, this doctor here, that I needed
Dr.
to
Vicky
a new doctor.
Says, yep.
I need hip replacements. I had talked to a parishioner whose mother had good results with an orthopedist with this other facility, and I would like you to make, if you would, an appointment with this doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he asked a number of questions, and, you know, I was at that point very desperate. I was like, will you do it?
Yeah.
He goes, I will do it, you know, but he really didn't know me from Boo. And he said, don't be surprised if you hear something you don't want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he did it. I went, and first time meeting him, he did his own type of x-rays, or his type of angles, and he came back in. We introduced ourselves to each other, and he says, both of your hips are shot. As you know, one's worse than the other. We'll do that one, and then we'll do the other one.
And when
if it had been appropriate, I would have hugged and kissed him.
But so when you had these done in 2018, 19? When did you have
these? Okay, this was, I saw him in March of 2019.
And you had both surgeries done that year?
In April 10th, I had the right one done. May 20th, I had the second one done.
Holy shimoly, yeah. So just a little shy of, a little more than 30 days apart.
Correct.
Yeah. So, yeah, so you, I mean, there were some challenges then. You needed to have, you know, help. Your kids are grown, right? You know, they're not at home. They're not there to, because our kids would totally just come and take care of us, wouldn't they? You know, oftentimes our kids can't. They're working or in school or, you know, you need 24 hours.
Before they let you go home, actually, even before they do this, they talk about your home situation and what you will need. And it was a God thing. I can't remember. I was with the Clinton Franciscans years ago, and I had kept up with a couple different people, but I don't know if she called me out of the blue or I did call her out of the blue. I just can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
But she's a retired nurse, and she was willing to come out and spend a couple of weeks. I guess I couldn't drive for 14 days.
Mm-hmm.
So until I could drive, she would come out, and she did come out for both surgeries. And, once again, you know, I swear, everything that I've needed has been there.
Mm-hmm.
But you do have to be open to receiving.
Yes.
Oh.
Hey, Vicki, we need to take our last break. And folks, when we come back, we're going to talk with Vicki I think by the end of 2019, she was the bionic woman. I mean, you know, hips replaced, you know, all the metal detectors are going to go off, feeling good. But now she has another struggle. And that's when she found out she had cancer. So we're going to talk about that cancer treatment in our last segment of the show. You're listening to Straight Talk on Iowa Catholic Radio.
Thank you to Mercy One for their support of Iowa Catholic Radio. From the cardiovascular experts at the Iowa Heart Center to the pediatric services of Mercy Children's Hospital and Clinics, Mercy provides complete care for Central Iowa's adults and children with more than 50 primary care and specialty clinics in the Des Moines area. Find a convenient Mercy One location near you. Online at mercydesmoines.org.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio in Christ is the Answer with Father John Ricardo is provided by Confluence Brewing Company, a local brewery featuring seasonal and limited-release beers located off the bike trail south of Grays Lake and online at confluencebrewery.com. Confluence Brewing Company has growlers to go, apparel, and other gifts for family and friends. Confluence Brewing Company is available for curbside service and would like to thank you for your support. Thank you, Confluence Brewing Company, for your support of Iowa Catholic Radio.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Storm Alert Weather is provided by Divine Treasures. Divine Treasures is a Catholic book and gift store serving the Des Moines community for over 25 years. Their mission is to help Catholics know, love, and keep their faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and His Church. Divine Treasures is where you can find great Catholic books, beautiful Bibles, rosaries, jewelry, statues, and religious gifts for those memorable events in your life. Divine Treasures, 5701 Hickman Road, Des Moines, 515-255-5230. Thank you to Divine Treasures for their support of Iowa Catholic Radio.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Catholic Women Now provided in part by Permar Security, providing security solutions for homes and businesses since 1953. Permar Security is a Catholic-owned family business supplying security systems, access control systems, video surveillance, fire alarm systems, and video doorbells. All alarm systems are monitored out of their monitoring center located in the state of Iowa. Permar Security, 515-244-5660, permarsecurity.com.
Bielder Ken Construction. Not going along with the crowd will help you stand out in the crowd. Bielder Ken Construction proudly supports Iowa Catholic Radio. Bielder Ken Construction is a commercial general contractor providing pre-construction, estimating, and scheduling services through completion of construction. We can build projects ranging from tenant improvements and historical renovations to high-rise buildings. We build confidence. Learn more about the nearly 40 projects in the Des Moines metro area completed by Bielder Ken Construction by visiting www.bdconstruct.com.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Faith on Trial provided by Paul Martin and Paul Mitchell, owners of Imogene Ingredients. Imogene Ingredients supply specialized feed ingredients for livestock and pet diets to improve maternal and young animal health in both conventional and organic production. Information about Pharmatan and other products at ImogeneIngredients.com. Paul and Paul are members of St. Augustine's Knights of Columbus and encourage their brother knights to keep standing for their faith.
Welcome back to Straight Talk on Iowa Catholic Radio. This is Jean Wells, and my guest today is Vicki Oberheim-Vorwald, and we're talking about cancer and surviving cancer, both as a spouse of a cancer victim and your own personal cancer treatment, and where our faith and our very life, you know, is tested by that cancer treatment. Now, if you're listening and you have someone that you would like us to pray for, you can text me at 515-223-1150. So when we took our break, we were talking about at the end of 2019, Vicki had had both hips replaced within just a little over a month of each other. I mean, I thought for sure you're going to be running a marathon, Vicki, because you recuperated from that. It was the best thing for you. All those years of struggling, now that problem is gone.
It's amazing.
Yeah, that was fabulous. But I remember you calling me and saying, you know, you were laying down and you saw like this protrusion on your lower extremities and like, go to the doctor. So,
right.
Go to the doctor. So walk us through that if you would.
Yeah, I had my annual physical scheduled for April. At the very beginning, and they had called me. I really had no concerns. So we rescheduled it for June because COVID had then entered our lives.
Yes.
And
so you had your appointment.
So when,
but it's moved
yeah,
to June.
When,
so.
when I saw that protrusion and shared that, I started to feel pain.
Mm.
And the pain lasted a couple of days, and I thought, well, COVID or not, I guess I do need to go in. I do have a concern now.
Mm-hmm.
So went in, they did an ultrasound, and the ultrasound really wasn't he said that showed nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So we went and got the test I needed, the mm-hmm. scan.
I mean, you had to be thinking,
right away,
oh, these are the tests that Joe had, you know.
Absolutely.
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So went and found out that weekend through the portal
mm-hmm.
That I did indeed have cancer, and I was sent to, they made an appointment with somebody here in Des Moines. He looked at the scan and he looked at the
his surgery schedule. He couldn't get me until the end of June, so they referred me to Iowa City.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a matter of just a couple weeks.
I mean, again, I remember when this happened, Vicki, and I'm like, oh no, this is just like Joe. Everything is going so fast. I mean, I had the worst thoughts in my mind. I don't know about you, if you thought this is going to end up being stage four. I mean, did you put those kind of stresses on yourself? Or was I taking them on for you?
I visited there.
Did you visit? Okay.
I know my first prayer, I was thinking of my kids.
Mm.
Because, you know, after Joe, you know, I had a lot of very strong prayerful type things that kept me together and even had me opening my hands to my own possible death that's going to happen mm-hmm. sometime.
Right.
You know, I no longer had a real vice grip on this life.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought, here are my kids, you know, their dad got sick, went to treatment, didn't work, died.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, God, whatever happens, don't let it be the same.
Right. For the kids' sake, not for your sake.
It was. It really was. I mean, I had my own little worries like, oh my gosh, I don't have a will. I've got to take care of this. I've got to take mm-hmm. care of that. But whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so went there. We scheduled the treatment. With reading through the scans, there were some hopeful little things that appeared to be contained. It was ovarian cancer. Mm-hmm. It was stage one, but it was stage 1C as opposed to A and B, which were a little bit better because it was in both fallopian tubes and both ovaries.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, long story short, they took it out. I recovered from that, started chemotherapy every 3 weeks. They were day-long treatments.
Mm-hmm.
Waited for another month. After those treatments were over, went back in for a scan, and it was clear.
Best news ever. But how did you maintain, because you were so very positive during this time, and as friends, we're always concerned if inside you're okay, because externally you were okay. You talked about being okay. You were very positive through all that. And, you know, during that month's time, how did your faith play a part in keeping you okay?
You know, faith really had everything to do with it, I had prior to that. But, you know, I went by different things. I knew that everything that I have has been given to me.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere in church, let's see, the Lord be with you with your spirit.
I know that part.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and just. Mm-hmm. It is truly right and just that we should always and everywhere give thanks. Always and everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're sick or you're not sick. Illness can also be used to glorify God.
Mm-hmm.
You can offer it up for people in purgatory. You can offer it up for anything. And it still can be an act of love.
Mm-hmm.
A diagnosis of cancer doesn't mean that you can't love. That you can't reach out.
Yep.
It's not all about you with the cancer. What can I do? During my treatment times, you know, I could smile at people. I didn't have to sit there and go, oh, poor me, look at mm-hmm. me. I'm sitting here in this chair. I've got to see her for 6 hours, my God.
Mm-hmm.
No, but there were nurses in there, different people that helped us during this COVID time,
mm-hmm.
you know, which has been terribly crazy. My church, again, one mainstay for me, in prayer, in my own prayer life, and my relationship with God has been working with music. So I do know that they told me, well, you have a high risk for the nausea and vomiting,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, and all the different side effects. And so the weekend that we were able to go back to weekend masses was just prior to my first treatment, which I took on Mondays, because I thought, okay, I did learn that the chemo is out of your body within 48 hours.
And as a church musician, you're like, if I have it on Monday, I'll be able to sing and play at Mass on Saturday.
At the following weekend. That's right.
Did you miss any Saturday nights, Vicki?
As it turns out, no, I did not. Oh.
God bless you.
I was totally amazed. I mean, that was just a gift to me. Mm-hmm. And maybe with COVID, you know, they're probably sick and tired of listening to just me play. But you know, with COVID, I hope it's been a help to our parish people, too.
Now, what I find interesting during this same time, Vicki, is that St. Thomas Aquinas started Eucharistic adoration, and they're 24 hours a day for the majority of the week. I don't think you've quite filled up all of your time slots on the weekend, but you are a faithful adorer, even during this treatment time.
Yeah, I responded to the plea in our bulletin to help call people to get the spots filled. I was prayed to God, you know, with COVID and everything. I knew that I felt comfortable at church with the guidelines that we were following, and I felt comfortable at this place called Helping Hands, which gives food and clothing and furniture or whatever to those who need it. Because I didn't want to go back to some of my other vices that I needed to give up. And so I was able to go somewhere each day. And with Eucharistic adoration, that was new to me. Joe and I did that together a few times, but it was really like his thing, not my thing.
Now it's your thing.
But I came along... I've come a long way. Just sitting there and shutting down my mind and being in the presence of the Eucharist.
Beautiful.
I mean, Jesus is always with us. And but it's totally different there.
We are almost out of time, but I want to give the folks an update. You had your six-month checkup. You wanted to have your checkup before you said yes to being on the show. So what happened at your six-month?
Yeah, it was 3 months. Every 3 months.
Oh, every three months. Okay. So, this was just your three-month checkup? Oh, my goodness.
My three-month checkup was in February, and my next one will be in May.
Gotcha. And so, what happened in February?
Everything is fine still.
Everything is fine. Well, I pray for you every day, Vicki, and for all of our listeners, those who have texted in and those who are praying for those in your family that have cancer, know that I will keep you all in my prayers. I want to thank my guest, Vicki Oberheim-Vorwald, a cancer survivor, and sharing her journey on when our faith and our life is tested by cancer. I also want to thank Deacon Tony Valdez, my producer today, and I'm Jean Wells. And today, asking St. Peregrine, patron saint of those struggling with cancer, to help all those with cancer to come to terms with their diagnosis and to help to heal them. St. Peregrine, pray for us. Iowa Catholic Radio is a listener-supported station, and we particularly rely on your prayers and your support to continue our mission of connecting listeners with Christ. You can give to Iowa Catholic Radio online at iowacatholicradio.com or on the free app, Iowa Catholic Radio app, or you can call us 515-223-1150. Straight Talk is every Tuesday at 10 on Iowa Catholic Radio and always available on that podcast through the Iowa Catholic Radio app. Stay tuned for Christ is the Answer with Father John Ricardo. God bless.
Straight Talk, where you get answers to tough issues impacting your life. Listen anywhere at any time via podcast at iowacatholicradio.com. Straight Talk, heard every Tuesday at 10 a.m. and replayed at 10 p.m. only on Iowa Catholic Radio.